You thought that was funny.
Holmberg's morning sickness.
You were laughing like a hyena when he said it.
98.
What the hell is wrong with you?
K-U-K-U-P-D.
Dave's your screaming bot. Time to give you a word so you guys can try to win yourself a man cave upgrade. Again, we're talking about the realities of things. And this day after a weird day last night really kind of threw everybody into this strange odds headspace. And my emails are all about the thing that happened last night, Westgate and shootings. And is this what we have to look forward to? And it's got us all thinking, man, that's why we all dive into fantasy and comic books and all sort of like, can't there be something out there that just shows up and wizards us a little bit better? Well, today the word is conjuring, because that's what we're hoping for, a beautiful conjurer to come up and give us Hannah Jeter blowjobs. That's all we're after. That's really all I want. Magical, disposable blowjob. Imagine, you can just crumple her up and throw her in the garbage, and she's organic, so she goes right back into the earth. We're getting close with that virtual reality thing. My friend Brian texts me, goes, have you jerked off virtual reality yet? I'm like, no, why? He goes, it's fun because you get into a room with three girls. And he goes, and you can just say horrible things and they just keep smiling. You know, they don't hear you. He's like, you're just in this thing where this girl's doing stuff.
And he goggles up?
Oh, yeah, you got to goggle up.
Yeah.
It's 360 degrees and there's a couple other girls next to you and they're doing stuff. And he said, and you can talk trash about how one of them's really ugly the whole time. And you hear it and it's funny. And he says, and then, you know, of course, you're jerking off, too.
The hilarious thing is you'd have goggles and headphones yeah. on. There could care. Be people walking into the room. You'd right. have no yeah. idea what's
Well, it beats the way I've been doing it, which is just having it on the TV with people in the room and beating off. That's embarrassing. Sorry, guests.
Your parents come over, you know.
I think it's time for us to leave yeah. now. The party's over.
Well, even worse is that now when you get caught with
That's
that.
That's your last call.
Your goggles are up on your forehead when mom and dad come over. What are you doing? Just taking a look at some landscaping ideas. You're jerking off 3D, aren't you? Ah, it's crazy. No, you're nuts. Let me see those goggles. Dad pops them on, and he starts stroking. Like, Dad. Yeah, the virtual reality beating off. Now, that needs to happen. They need to get that toot sweet. That needs to start moving faster.
But aren't they're like the cartoon looking.
No. You're in the video. It's
unbelievable. It's legit?
Yes. Wow. It's scary.
Is this on the PlayStation VR? Are we looking
at
Oculus?
You got to get the really good top notch. You know, you're going to spend some money on this thing, but you set up a little space in your room, make a circle so you can't break your legs when you're walking around. You visit the space. It's pretty unbelievable. Pretty unbelievable. Yeah, it's not cartoons. It's not Japanime. Although, if you want, it's available. I have had it on while porn is going on, but it was while someone was showing me what porn looks like. I couldn't start beating off right away.
I'm surprised you haven't invested in
that. I'm thinking about it.
You give it a run, let me know.
I'm so good at it the way I do it.
I know. I'm kind of set my ways.
I really kind of feel like this is just extra. I'm really good at what I do. It's almost like the way Brady still beats off to newspaper ads.
Yeah.
I have my way.
Here's catalog. And
good with my techniques. Yeah.
Or mentally thinking of your wife.
You've got your wife that. Yeah, that's just the biggest lie ever perpetuated by anybody I've ever heard in my life, but Brady's so afraid.
We all have our own.
Yeah, you're wrong. You're lying, and we all know it, and that's right. We've said it. We all know
it's
you're
all
right. lying.
Stick to your story.
Yep, it's smart. It's like finding the money, no matter how much a guy's berating you about the biggest lie I've ever heard told. You stick with the fact that when you masturbate, your wife is your fantasy. Why fantasize about her? She's right there. Ugh.
And that's kind of their thing. Why are you beating off when I'm right here?
Right. But if she is right there, why are you beating off?
Yeah.
If she, you know, then you got to tell her the truth. Like, because I didn't want to please anybody but myself right now. And you seemed like a lot of work.
And you're not in the...
And you're not...
in the video.
Kimmy Granger right now. And I needed that.
Sorry.
Now, do you think that would matter if Ronnie busts the door open, sees you in your half strokes? Like, but I was thinking of you. She's not going to believe that. That just sounds like garbage. This was for you. I give you life.
It would be easier if that was, you know, it was just you. But if you had goggles on and a...
Yeah, and she comes in.
I was thinking of you.
The worst thing ever is there you are and your pudgy little grossness laying there with a belly full and his glasses on. And then you take the glasses off and she's standing above you with her arms crossed. You done?
Clearly. It's a video of us on vacation.
Yeah. You are right, Brady. It is easier to lie when you have the iPad.
Yeah.
When you're 100%. Just doing it with nothing.
That's
if you have an iPad or a phone or
There's a history on
the
that.
VR.
Yeah.
You definitely can't lie there.
The largest lie I've ever heard in my life that you
all
tell
that, to cover.
That you tell all the time is probably the best one to cover.
Yep.
You know that humongous biggest lie told by any man ever since the beginning of time that you tell? It's
keep
can't,
going.
Can't
though.
Prove it, man. Yeah, can't keep, prove it. So.
Stick to your story.
You call it a lie. Fine.
It's a lie. It's a lie. But you're right. Stay with it, man. Stay with it.
Stay strong.
Because whatever you're doing, don't deviate.
Barry Bonds has my back on
don't
this.
Don't deviate from this plan, my man.
And at the pearly gates, Jesus will give you a little wink and go, I really know what it was going on there, right?
I want to introduce you to something called hell. I got to give it to you, kid.
You know what? You stuck with it. I respect that.
Some of those fantasies. Yeah. Some of those fantasies made me blush. That's strong.
Jesus would. Old God, not so much.
Yeah. No, Jesus is not going to forgive you, especially if you died doing it. Like your last day, you have to tell everybody. You have to come clean, so to speak. And on your deathbed.
Just so Jesus isn't mad, because I don't want to piss him off, but yeah, I never fantasized about you. That was all BS. I jerked off to everything but you.
If you got a chick that is hammering you on that, you got to get out of there.
Yeah, you got to run away from her.
That's just ridiculous.
Yeah, look, ladies, enough.
Or if she throws, yeah, you got to be thinking of me if you do it. Ah.
Why?
Bye-bye.
It's called a fantasy. I can have anybody I want. That's fantasizing. You think I fantasize about a vacation in the house? It's the same thing. I know I'm on a beach. There's like anything I want for free. The food comes to me for nothing. That's my fantasy. No,
right.
My vacation fantasy is me in the kitchen. That's not a fantasy. That's a reality that I live all too much.
And I grant you the same powers.
Right.
Chris Hemsworth.
Go crazy.
Brad Pitt, whoever you want.
Take a Momoa crank the size of an F-150.
Have
Go
fun.
Crazy.
Have fun, kid.
Yeah. Punch her in the shoulder. Go get him, kid. Knock it out. Here's virtual reality headset for you to live an alternate life. I just want to think of you. Then you're borderline retarded.
I appreciate that.
You like that? I'd have half my fist would clinch
Thank
itself.
Thank you, my lady. Liar. Be on with you.
Liar.
Get your tool bag. Think of whoever you want.
Yeah.
Have fun.
Conjuring 97936 because we need a wizard and we love fantasy because it's not real and we want it to be. A little mermaid pops up out of there. It's so you can upgrade your man cave. Prestige Billiards, Modelo Especial. They're going to hook it up, give you a Bedford pool table that's amazing. Outdoor foosball and ping pong tables, cornhole boards that are awesome. Connect Four, you're going to have a party house, even though you're not allowed to have parties anymore. Modelo Especiale, LED sign. It's a misspelled sign, according to this paper. 100-can countertop fridge and $150 to fill that fridge. And Blackened, a prize pack from Blackened. Metallica has got their new whiskey, Blackened. And Black.com is going to come to your house and do some filming. Going to be great. We're going to do another drawing in just a little bit. Today's word, conjuring, for that. I got an interesting email, speaking of fantasies. Ethan says, would you do a reverse mermaid, fish head and torso, but the most luscious ass you ever did see?
Ugh.
Can't talk, can't complain. Just big buns, hon. I think a black guy would do that. They like butts and fish heads.
That's disgusting. That is just wrong.
I'd do it just for the stories.
No, you wouldn't.
Oh, yeah, I would.
You'd be so disgusted.
Nah, it's a mermaid.
They're all
it's different.
Slimy and
if they're at like a bar.
Catfish
no.
whiskers.
If it was magic. Ah. Yeah. If it was magical. Well, she can't have stingers.
Well, no. Yeah. It's just the head.
Yeah, whiskers they
can,
they,
those,
out.
Those can pry in, though. The whiskers on some
Not so much. They're in the
don't
want to
risk it. I don't want to risk it. Yeah. I don't want to risk it. No potential defense mechanism.
How far down? Just the head, right?
Yeah, to like shoulders, and then it starts scaling into skin,
it's
and then you
not
get
the
boobs,
initial fins,
boobs, girl halfway. Belly, honey hole,
yeah, so man, it's just sweet a fish head,
sweet butt, and then
can
then
I cover it? Can I throw a bag over it?
If you wanna, is she gonna fight you?
It'd be in my head. I couldn't. Once I see it, I can't unsee it.
I'd do the fish head lady. I think it's a great story to tell later. Hey guys, I had this magical like you know pirates used to tell the stories of half fish, half woman. Nobody was grossed out. Why is it gross if she's got a fish head, but it's okay to bang her in her fish butt? Huh? I ask that. I beg that question, gentlemen of the jury.
No.
But the fish butt's okay. You unzip her fish body and start having sex with her fish-gina.
I'm used to that. I've grown up with that.
With a fish tank? Oh, okay.
The top.
Familiar
oh.
with the, that's a traditional
the,
mermaid.
Yeah, where the right. top is, you know, and the hair's just over the
nipples. What if your mermaid was ugly?
Well, then I'm not doing it.
When she shows up and she's magic and stuff, and she's got great cans, but her face is, well, she's a butterface mermaid.
Oh, you know what, where that
like
is?
The fish head.
That's on the yeah. Beastmaster. I rewatched yeah. the Beastmaster.
She's got a mermaid in that?
No, no, but they have these really hot bodies, these girl, the witches, and they huh. have these horrible, disgusting faces. Huh. And I was thinking, you know, I'd still do that.
Yeah. If it's magic, if it's just some girl at a bar, she can't have butterface. She can be, ugh.
I mean, it has to be spectacular.
It has to be magic. It has to be of fantasy. There's people like, what are you doing with that? Uggo. It's half mermaid. It's magic.
Take a lot of grog to get you for that mermaid.
I could do that.
By the way, you want a good laugh, go back and watch the Beastmaster again.
Met the
it's
Beastmaster.
Amazing. It holds up.
I met the Beastmaster.
Yeah, it holds up.
Beastmaster autographed the napkin on America West Airlines for me and my friend Colin without us even asking because he heard us making fun of him. Maybe we should ask the Beastmaster. We didn't realize it was carrying two rows ahead.
What was his name? Mark something?
Mark Singer.
Mark Singer. Mark Singer, yeah.
And then a few seconds later, the stewardess came by and said, the gentleman two rows up would like to give you this. Said, thanks for being fans, Mark Singer, on an America West Airlines.
That's pretty funny.
It was pretty awesome. And then he saw us in the baggage claim in Burbank and made mention of it. And we realized we don't want to sit and talk to Mark Singer. We've got to get out of here.
Did he have Poto and Kodo in his bags?
He probably was waiting for live animals to come around the baggage claim.
You know, he was in V, too. I mean, come
yeah,
on.
He was good. He was in another movie about a musician who was blind called If You Could See What I Hear. And it's actually a pretty good movie. He's pretty good. And then he was Beastmaster, and it all fell apart.
Hey, that had Rip Torn in it.
I forgot Rip Torn. A lot of good people took money for movies that weren't very good.
Still the guy from Good Times?
J.J. Walker?
No.
John Amos.
John Amos. John Amos.
Kid Dynamite?
Dynamite!
We need to get us one of them big, fat, fish-headed ladies. Conjure that up, beast man. Anyway, yeah, fantasies, that's all we're looking for. We're looking for an escape, man. Everybody wants an escape right now, and none of those crappy promises later escapes, like a right now one.
That way you don't have to, you know, get stupid and shoot things
yeah.
up.
Yeah, where's the magic? People are hurting. It'd be a good time for any magic man to show up and give us something.
That's what I wanted to know about this guy. What is so bad? You got to go to Westgate and then.
What's so bad? You got to go to Westgate. That's right.
Yeah.
I agree.
Let alone.
How bad has life gotten? You've got to go. There's plenty of great malls in between Los Angeles and Phoenix.
I mean, if it's a girl, ugh.
It'll be a girl. This one is too. This one's different. It's
couldn't
personal.
Be that he got fired, maybe?
That's the A and B, I think.
I need more detail.
The woman or the fired thing. Something's going on here where he feels like he's been wronged, either by a job.
I'm going down, you're going down.
See, here's
down.
The thing that the job thing with the shooter in Westgate doesn't make sense to me with is he's young. So yeah. It's not like he's
other
had,
jobs.
It's, yeah, it's not like he's had years of work stripped out from under him.
Dude's 20 years old.
Yeah. So this to me is heartbreak or something's going on where he can't figure out how to get out of the rut of being an incel. He's an involuntary celibate. So it's that to me is one of those deals. Where, and especially because he gave up.
If it's a, you know, you go off the meds.
Well, there's that. That's a different
that's
argument
the whole thing,
completely.
It's a mental illness.
Yeah, when we get into mental, he's clearly got that.
Right.
That's that. That I'm not even. But I'm saying the root cause is going to be his crazy, but something tipped him over. Something pushed him to, and it's almost always relationship related. But this is the weirdest one that it's just him going to an empty place shooting, and he's winging people. He had intentions to kill, no doubt. But then when the cops show up, he just, I'm cool.
And it'd be parents, maybe? I don't know.
Then he'd kill his parents. Most of the time when that's the thing, you get, he's saying society this,
stuff,
society this, society that in his little video. And then, but he was just so, like, I don't know.
We're always fascinated by the psyche.
Because you can't figure it out.
Shooters.
A normal brain wants answers, and you're not going to get normal answers.
They got something in there that normals don't.
But there'll be a letter or something, and it'll be, why don't they like me? Why don't, and it's almost always relationships and women, and he can't relate. He doesn't understand, you know, interpersonal interaction.
That is weird. We were talking about that yesterday, and then it happened.
Yeah. Socialization's off, and all. It's just so strange. So
it's like
sad,
the moth being my mom. It's kind of the same.
No, it's not even close to the same. One is, one's completely retarded, and the other is a psychoanalysis of things that actually occur
You don't know.
I do know.
Your mom's a beautiful Cecropia moth.
She's the death head moth.
I don't know what that means, but okay.
Look it up.
Cecropia?
Yeah, Cecropia.
What is it?
Cecropia? It's a beautiful moth.
How you spell that?
Yeah.
I think it's S-E-K.
You don't know.
I'll look it up. I'll look it up.
What are you looking up that you brought
up? I had one.
I hate when people bring things up that you have to look up.
Don't ask me to spell it.
Well, don't bring it up then.
Okay.
You don't know what it is.
She's a beautiful Luna moth.
What? All right, that's easy.
She's a moon moth.
Yeah.
What does that mean?
Look it up.
No, you look it up. You're talking about it. Why are you asking me to do homework on your stupid conversation? If you've got a Luna moth, you know enough about it to bring it up.
You know the death head moth.
I know the death head moth because it's in Silence of the Lambs. Ask me about it. I don't know. It's the one James Gunn liked. Oranioxia
really
sticks or something.
Right.
I don't know anything about it. I just know it was the one that was shoving in the
throat.
Well,
I do.
He put, no, you don't. You don't know. You know absolutely.
I had a death head moth.
Okay, we're not talking about those. You brought up a different moth.
Wait a
minute. Luna moth?
Yeah.
Get them all the time.
Your dad was like Buffalo Bill?
Yeah, he had an insect.
Did he stuff it in Catherine Bimmel's throat?
No, didn't do it.
Was he making a suit out of fat girls?
No, had a collection.
Yeah, didn't Buffalo Bill have the board and they like nailed the bug? Did he do that? Nail the bugs to a board?
We did that a couple of times.
Hey, I'd be so hard.
Goliath beetle.
That's
goodbye,
so weird and creepy.
Horses. I'd be. Yeah, I'm Torp. Yeah.
That's what the movie was based on, Torp.
Hey. Uh-oh, somebody's at the door there. Howdy do there, Jody Foster.
What's your name, sir?
Hey, it's Jack Torp Gordon. Oh, you're with the FBI.
We're looking for
you're looking for somebody named James Gum or Jamie Gum, Catherine Bill. No, I'm not familiar with Frederica. Oh, yeah, wait. Was she a great big fat girl? Hey.
Hey, mister.
The bug collection people are creepy. It's just weird.
Mrs. Littman had a son. He might have had a phone number. You get a hold of him. Come on in. Enjoy the day. It's a happy day here. Doodaloo. That's a number I sing when I have guests.
Is that where the beer can thing spawned from? Because he had a collection. You need a collection or something?
No, he was helping out the Columbus Zoo on that when they...
You've deflected well.
Yeah.
Don't bring up bugs you don't know anything about and then turn it on me with Silence of the Lambs. If you can't spell it and you're bringing up words, you're going,
second of Brachymaca Luna moth.
Yeah, bringing it up was just to say the words. You don't know anything about it. Eric brought it up because he's got that retarded theory that moths are his mother because moth is in mother. And then you go, Cecropia moth, just because you learned it yesterday.
Largest moth in North America.
Oh, yeah? Why? Why are you bringing this up? You're only bringing this up.
Did you pull it up?
Yeah.
That's a beauty. Look at that, babe.
It's fantastic.
Caught him in a net.
So this is how simple you've become, is that he says moth, and you go, here's what I know. These are the moths I know.
I was paying Eric's moth a compliment.
I'd prefer to be a beautiful moth like that. That is pretty.
Yeah, either way, I kill it. Get out of my house. You're going to eat my stuff. Freak.
Maybe she just keeps coming back after you kill it.
Don't go to Jeremy. This is your topic.
I'm curious on the spelling.
Don't you? Yeah, good. Don't you start saying, Jeremy, look this up for me, because then that means you have no brain except for the one in his hand right now.
It is great on Wild Things when you and Christy don't know what the hell you're talking about. That is the best part.
Happens every now and then.
I got an email from somebody that said, hey, have you seen the promo for Brady's new Wild Things? I don't think I've ever seen anyone more comfortable with social distancing than Christy Moore.
She's good.
She's far away. Can't get that weird K shape when Brady tries to hug her. Yeah, I don't care about your Cecropia moth. Why did you bring that up? When did you learn about that? Be honest.
When I was a kid.
Yeah, his dad.
And you've been carrying that around your whole life.
Yeah, he's been waiting
how many
to
times?
Use it.
Oh, time out, son. We've talked about this moth thing for a month now. You never once brought it up. You just recently had a dalliance with the Cecropia.
No,
I miss
catching Cecropia.
Then why didn't you bring it up the 40 other times that this dipstick over here?
Because I was thinking of a beautiful moth for
just
Eric,
now,
rather than the death head moth. Oh.
I didn't bring up death head moth until after Cecropia. And we've talked about this moth thing for months.
Yeah, well, I wanted to give him a picture.
It was in his back pocket, John. He was waiting.
Because he's putting her on any moth.
Why did you take so long to bring up the Cecropia moth?
Are you saying he's been investigating
moths? I'm saying he learned about it yesterday.
No way.
I'm saying he learned.
That's true, you did.
Never once have you brought up Cecropia moths on this show.
There's a ton of things I've never brought up.
That's right, but we've talked about moths a million times.
You've conjured them.
No, I haven't. Nope. This is ridiculous. Stop it.
I don't know much about them.
It's a conjuring.
Or I spell it or what it does.
What is the difference between that?
It's a Luna moth.
I don't know.
I learned that yesterday.
Luna moth is a...
Here we go.
It glows. It's like that... opaque green, and it's got a long tail.
It's just the color?
Yeah.
It glows.
The only difference?
It looks like it glows. It's that...
It's a stingray.
Like a fluorescent green.
It's a flying almost. Stingray.
Jeremy, look up his thoughts. Oh, that's phenomenal. That's beautiful.
That is beautiful.
Yeah.
Yeah. Where are those found?
In the Midwest.
On a board with a couple of pins in it in my house.
You could probably get them. They might be around here. I don't know. They're pretty
man,
popular.
Oh, man. Moth collecting.
Street lights at night. They gather. They, you know, moths love.
You need it.
Bright lights.
Team of psychiatrists. Moth collecting. That's creepy.
I do imagine Torp in the basement. That is kind of scary.
Butterflies,
with
moths.
With his bed with a Nazi bedspread on it and that old Mrs. Lippman is boiling up in that tub.
He was trying to escape all those damn kids that's in his house.
That's right. I'll be downstairs woodworking and such.
Yeah, huh? All these foster kids from all over the world.
Torp, did you hear about that girl, Frederica Bimmel? She's missing.
No, I haven't heard a thing about that. I'll be downstairs.
Yeah,
I'm going to turn it to Screaming Lady TV, so if you hear a lot of that, don't come down and investigate. It's just television.
Did any of those foster kids disappear?
Yeah, all of them did.
They just, all of a sudden, they're not there.
Yeah, have you heard from Larry and Lisa?
Yeah.
Nope.
Mysteriously, they wanted nothing to do with us. The day they died, I went away.
Huh. It's all coming together now.
Anyway, here's your new leather coat.
He did skin a lot of animals.
Yeah, he did.
Huh.
And by animals, you mean neighbors. All right, and then the final touch of a Luna moth jammed deep into their throat. So when the West Virginia investigators find her floating in the river, then they won't know where it came from.
He found Annalise Ray with a moth in her mouth.
What a front. He's pretending to be a nice guy his whole life.
Hey.
Disappears in Cuba on a mission.
Yep.
Yeah. Oh, there's so many things.
Mysterious.
It is mysterious.
I know.
That was in Cuba before the revolution. You did what then? Yeah, like 58. During the revolution?
One year.
By gum, I guess it was during the overthrow.
By gum?
Jeez, Pete, I forgot I was there to overthrow the commandante.
With a good buddy from Chicago, a guy he met from Chicago.
He talked me into getting involved in a revolution, and I said, I've never been to Havana.
What a front.
And the guy from Chicago likes you because I set him up with a golf game with Jack Nicklaus.
Meanwhile, Bunny's at home pregnant, if the timeline adds up.
Right.
And he's out there having a fling with some Cuban woman.
He's killed so many.
Of course they weren't. The story you're going by is his.
We have it. Timelined.
Do you?
Yeah.
Do you? Think. No, you don't. Your dad wasn't sure when we were asked. Well, you know, it's 57 or 8. Yeah, when was your oldest born? I met Bunny in like 54. I guess I was married during that time when I was banging that Cuban lady during the revolution. You know, I was a guerrilla in the war against the DR.
Cuban Revolution, 1953 to 1959.
Yeah. Counselor?
He was there in 55 and 56.
And
married in 1960.
What were the numbers again?
53 to 59.
Heart of the Cuban Revolution, your dad was in? Cuba?
Or no, maybe it was...
Don't start that.
He was there the year before and then the year it started.
We have
that's
tape of
him
saying.
So 52.
Right, I think that's what he said. So it must have been 52 and 53.
Mm-hmm. And you just said a second ago,
goes,
in a court of law,
there,
you're a dead man.
The second time there, don't you remember? He said,
I
remember going there and there was nobody in the hotel.
Just seconds ago, you said, we have it all timeline.
Yeah, and you said like 56.
Well,
now you're guessing. Now you're guessing again. Can you see where our confusion lies on how much your family was involved in the overthrow of the Commandante and the rise of communism?
And he hung bugs on a wall.
And then he killed some kids in the neighborhood called it foster parenting.
He's killed so many. It all adds up.
We got it all timelined.
When was the revolution? 53 to 59.
I was here in 55.
Let me backpedal.
Because right in the middle of this conversation, he was there in like 55.
Born in 33.
But do you realize that as the listener to your story,
it's 52, 53.
You said in the middle of this a few minutes earlier than that, he was there in 55 or so.
Yeah.
And then you said, oh, no, it was the year before. Eric gave you the years, and then all of a sudden you're like, oh, then it was 52.
Yeah, because he
convenient.
He said it was the year before, and then the second
year. Why are you
year.
Covering for him?
I watch a lot
because I'm a good son.
Yeah, I watch a lot of First 48, and they'll get a guy like you in a room and say, were you at the Quick Trip there at this time?
Yeah, it was. I was actually at that Quick Trip right around then.
The murder took place.
I was there right before that, the year before that.
Could you imagine Brady as a witness?
What year was
they'll
that?
They'll get a guy like John in there that has every answer.
Well, it's not every answer,
guilty.
Brady.
This guy's
It's
guilty.
Not every answer. You've given us five answers. I'm an investigator.
Clearly.
Listen, if I said, when were you there, and you said,
oh, it was 55.
All right, that's when it was happening.
Oh, then it was, when did it start?
53 to 59.
52?
You're a liar. That's what, in first 48, you're like, oh, I'll take the easy out on this and just say it was right before it happened. But you just told me you were in the middle of it. I actually turned to you and said, in the heart of the Cuban Revolution. You go, yeah. And then Eric said, 53 to 59.
Well, it was the year before, 52.
And actually,
yeah, because some things I started remembering.
March 52 was the coup when it all got going.
You want to say 51 now?
No, I think, I mean...
Your dad is a revolutionary communist. Will you just admit it?
Okay.
He overthrew the government and got Castro in.
He was a powerful man.
No, he was just a grunt on the front killing people. Why wouldn't I go down there and overthrow a government? That's fun. It's just a tough story to hear when you say he was there in 55. No, wait.
Wait a minute. When did it start? Yeah, I thought it started.
And then you say you were remembering. Well, that's convenient memories, my friend. I came back from Cuba and I didn't want yogurt.
I remember he said that.
You and your dad conveniently have time lapses.
So mysterious.
You're going to have to.
When you're making a lot of crimes and
lies.
Telling
your kids stories.
That's right. About the well.
Maybe Torp raped you. Where was he?
Oh, man.
It's all...
It's all coming back now.
Dig around in your throat and see if there's one of them Luna moths. You're also versed in. I like how he tried to spin that. John, who knows all the answers? You've given 20, of course. I remember your story from a minute ago. So it gets a little confusing. Brady's dad's a communist from Cuba. Call the authorities. I think we're being held hostage. And you fantasize about your wife and you jerk off. It's just all very shady.
That's what puts it over
That's
the top.
Really when you're like, come on, I can handle your rise of communism days. But this fantasy about your wife jerk-off story is a bridge too far.
Yeah, that's it.
Yeah, I don't mind that your dad nearly caused the nuclear annihilation of our entire country in the 13 days in October. Kennedy had to fight with Khrushchev. That's partly your dad's fault. But this fantasy of you jerking off to Ronnie is so absurdly unbelievable and counter to all things intuitive in a man's brain.
I just can't believe anything you say anymore.
And I'm getting emails saying, well, Eric should love Brady's dad, seeing as how they're both communists. At least one was active.
I was there.
Now you know.
Now, yeah, we could hang out, have a good time. We'll go to dinner. I'll get the information from him.
The murder of Demetrius Allen happened. What year were you in Columbus?
Oh, 94.
It happened in 94.
93 then.
We had the timeline today. Huh. You were talking about the temple, at the Buddhist temple.
That's just me not
it
being
like
able to remember.
It was like 94. Yeah, I couldn't remember the years right away. Took a little time.
That's not
we
a
figured out
example.
It was 91.
This is your father versus off. A random murder 30 years ago. You might miss a date. Your dad being part of the Cuban Revolution is something you should know and not have a five-year swing in memories. Just conveniently that after the guy tells you when it started, you pick the year before. After saying it was 55, 56. Started in 53.
52 then.
That seems fishy. You got to admit, that's a little fishy. Were you at Westgate yesterday? Oh, yeah, about 7 o'clock. Oh, yeah, there was a shooting then. I mean, 4:30. You're a liar. You did it. It's a cover story. The word conjurer. Did I say conjurer?
Conjuring.
Conjuring. Okay, conjuring. That'll be the word today. Conjuring, because that's magical. And like Brady's stories, all magical. Conjuring, that's the word. 97936, you can win that man cave upgrade. It's all gone haywire. It's 98.
You thought that was funny.
Holmberg's morning sickness.
You were laughing like a hyena when he said it.
98.
What the hell is wrong with you?
Now it's time for our friend Jeremy to come in here and give us a little levity after all this. Brady just called your old man, though. He called your dad. To try to find out times. And
he
tell
must
us,
have been in a bunker
because
it was a
now,
tough line.
What, well, yeah, and he hung up, but the tough questions, they would magically disappear.
Found out.
Your dad was in Cuba.
In the heart of it.
57-58, when the palace was
he
stormed.
Said the second year, that's when
and he was there for 2 years?
Batista's house.
Was he there for 2 years?
He went back a week each time, or like 2 weeks.
Wow.
To kill.
To
and
kill.
Then he went back.
Yeah, he was a mercenary. It's what that's called, being a mercenary. You go in and you take your assignment out and then you head back, hide in plain sight in Columbus, Ohio.
It's a good front he put on. Had the foster kids and
but
all
But then
that.
I said, God damn it, Brady. Ask your dad if he was at least scared to be a tourist, as he's sharing with you, in Cuba during the height of the revolution.
Yeah, yeah, that's good. Hey, Dad, at any point did you fear for your safety?
Yep. Went dark.
Remember I told you that
and
one
I called
time
them back.
They tried to frisk me and I thought they were a bunch of homos. So I that I was worried about. I was worried about homo interaction.
These bearded guys came up with me and wanted to pat me down. I'm like, you're not touching me.
He didn't mention the silencer in his,
but yeah, as far as, you know, I killed a lot of those homos that wanted to touch me.
Were you carrying?
Well, hell yeah, Brady. I had to kill the president. You can't get frisked when you're on a mercenary mission to kill Batista.
He said he went over there both times with a bunch of lead to give out.
Ever tell you about the time I was in Uganda? And, you know, we were on a Christian mission and stuff. Just so happened right about the time when both us men attacked the palace. And then we got that
Idi
Amin. He
Magid
came in.
Lived with us. His name was Magid, and he was from Uganda.
Yeah, you need to look into your world. I was kidding.
Oh, we had brought that kid back from the Uganda. Ever tell you about the time I was the lead doctor for Idi Amin and I had sex with Kerry Washington before she got quartered?
Or you just watch his movies
yeah,
and think he was
thinks it's him.
I was,
yeah.
For a little while, I was the right-hand man and medical advisor to the last king of Scotland. My name was James McAvoy at the time, and I was an actor.
Huh.
Hey, Shoeless Joe.
How about that? You ever tell you ever tell you about the time that I was in the Eight Men Out and I was one of the players there that took some money for I won the World Series. At the time I was calling myself Shoeless Joe Jackson, you know, and that's how that operation went.
Me
down.
And Dickie Dick.
I think it's time to put the old man down.
He's Commander McBragg.
Did hey Brady ever tell you about the time and I fought off hordes of people at a place called Thromopoly?
That could just be a past
when were
life.
You there?
That was when did it happen? Yeah. Because right in the middle of whenever you say. Hey, when did that go down there? You know, ever tell you about the time
I know Vesuvius I went off in 79.
That's right.
AD.
So I was there in 78, planting the explosives.
He warned everybody.
You know, the worst part
leave.
About being in Vesuvius was, you know, it wasn't so much the volcano and all the dying. It was the fags. Everybody wanted to grab hold of my balls, you know, and say, you got that dynamite?
Why is that part of every story?
That was a different time.
How many years did you spend on the Silk Road?
Yeah, well, how many years did it go on?
1,000.
I was there for 800 of them, just before.
You and Marco Polo?
Yeah, that's right. Ever tell about the time that me and Methuselah, okay, I used to babysit Methuselah. Remember telling you the time we started this whole God thing? Yeah, I just wrote some dumb book. And
you were in a regular
it.
Golf game with Methuselah
oh, yeah,
every
yeah,
Tuesday?
Play bridge on Tuesdays with he and his wife, Bridget. Yeah, Bridget and Methuselah would come by, and me and your mother at the time. She's, Catherine the Great, I think is her name. I don't remember.
Katie.
That's isn't right. this going to make it difficult to do the eulogy now when you go up there and
well,
talk about his life?
When Chuck Artigue died. I had to go to his,
I believe
know,
my dad died.
Yeah. Our former boss and brilliant, beloved Chuck Artigue, who worked here at KUPD for years on end, I had to help deliver a eulogy at his funeral and be one of the speakers. And I went to his house day after, 2 days after he died, and talked to his wife. And she has papers all over the thing. And she looks at me and she goes, I don't know who this man is. I'm like, what? She goes, everything I'm finding out is, it's been.
Was it bad?
One lie after another.
Shut up.
Oh, my God, yeah. He was married like a bunch.
Think
he about
didn't tell
the
her?
Tales that we were told.
Yeah, they all overlapped and none of them were right. And his son gave one of the most brilliant speeches I've seen a human being give in public for his father's funeral and basically said, I did a bunch of research with him the last couple of years to find out what was real. I never knew my dad. He would not talk about his past. He would not talk about his – and he said – and he wasn't ready. He said, let's go back. I took him back to Los Angeles where he grew up, and we went to drive his old neighborhood, and we got to a street, and he goes, I can't do this. Turn around. And he goes, why? And he goes, can't do it. Couldn't go back to his old house. Couldn't go back to his old stomping grounds. Couldn't tell you a story. And then he's like, I'll tell you surfacey stuff. Like, this is the pier we used to hang out and throw homos off. That's a trend with that generation. This is where we used to toss the untoward into the water. Gays. That's real. And that's what he could tell him. But then he's like, what happened here? I don't want to talk about it. Just let's go home. And he wanted to leave really bad.
The
and
hell?
So his son, who's a brilliant lawyer, Cameron's an amazing guy. I don't know him well, but what I did know, I was very impressed. One of those people who you're just very impressed with when you meet, and you realize the difference between smart and intellectual, and that was a big difference. He wrote one of the most amazing tributes to a man at his funeral I've ever seen, and most of it was, I never knew who you were.
Wow, that seems like a theme. So you got up there and you've known him for, you know, what, 10 years at the time?
That tells you everything you need to know.
Told what you knew about
him. Tells you everything you need to know. I'd known Chuck for, I don't know, what was it, 12 years?
Yeah, something
and
like
I
that.
And I spoke at his funeral. I spoke at an 83-year-old man's funeral.
I know. Like, how are you going to speak on anything from early on?
Because I was the only one to bear witness to those years personally.
We had great meetings.
So, no, and I got to be good friends with him. He was done with the old life.
Sure.
The mysteries were in the past. I got a taste of the real guy.
Or he'd talk about, you're right, in little tiny bits. Yep.
And all
apparently
I
apparently Brady's got little tiny bits through his whole life.
But if you think,
it's coming out.
If I'm 83 years old, the guy talking at my funeral knew me for 10 of those years, and I was a substantial part of who's talking at this thing. There's a lot of mystery wrapped up in that.
Sure.
You know, it was an honor, but at the same time, I'm like, I probably shouldn't be the guy doing this. There should be other people in his life. And his son was brilliant. Just flat brilliant. You know? But it's weird. So, Brady, you're going to have that. You should eulogize your dad. I'll write your eulogy.
Well, my dad was part of the Cuban Revolution. A lot of people didn't know that. And that led us to the 70s, where he would shove Luna moths in victims' throats in our basement.
Yeah, you're adding to it daily here.
Ever tell you about the time I used to take I'm Commander McBogan, by the way. Ever tell you about the time I fought off single-handedly a bunch of Swahilis in the World War II there? I was in a village where my car broke down, and darn.
And you're kind of Commander McBragg's assistant.
Did I ever tell you about the time?
No, sir. Please regale me.
That was a cold, rainy night, Mesa.
Anyway, sorry. Jeremy, I digress. Brady's father interests us. His family of lies will never, ever bore me.
You're spectacular.
All right. It's time now for Jeremy's segment. Jeremy, please go ahead and tell us what you've got this week. Oh, yeah. Sorry. I don't have your mic on.
It's You're on. There we go. All right. So we're going to start off
with... There's no button for that?
Yeah, but you got to turn the pod up.
Go ahead.
We're going to start off with a clip from the Twilight Zone movie. This is from 1983. A businessman meets a bunch of friends at a bar after work. He's upset after being passed over for a promotion.
This is the great Vic, what's his, Morrow, who was killed in the filming of this movie.
Shut up, was he?
That,
Vic Morrow. He's in the bar. He's drunk, older guy, mid-50s, late-50s.
Like killed how? Like murdered?
They had helicopter. No, helicopter crashed on set on him. Well, that was like a special effect. They ran
wrong
a helicopter.
Landing pad.
And it smashed down onto Vic
Morrow. And they kept going with the movie, yeah?
It's in the movie.
What?
Yeah, that scene where the helicopter's going, they kept it. It's in the movie. And as he's running from the helicopter, like they cut to the successful scene and have a double go, whereas the actual crash is cut out.
Oh my God!
Yeah, it's part of his last steps on Earth are in the Twilight.
I just remember the John
running
Lithgow
from a helicopter.
Part.
Yeah, great part
with
that,
the
and that was the William Shatner recreation.
Yeah,
which is a better episode because William Shatner overdoes it. Okay, this is what am I playing here?
The Twilight Zone movie.
All right, here we go.
Yeah, I'm pissed. All right. Uh oh, remember the guy Goldman? He didn't get promoted. They gave it to that Jew bastard. They give Goldman my promotion. You're telling me to relax. You know what that would have meant to me? An extra $6,000 a year that I don't earn. You know, they always get more money, you know that much. I'm better than him. I worked hard for that promotion. What happens? They give it to some Jew.
Jeez.
What else do the hell they want, for Christ's sake? They own everything as it is.
Oh, Bill, the Jews don't own everything. The Arabs won't let them.
Arabs, what the hell is that? Just a wrapped up in a sheet.
Jesus, God almighty, it's the worst scene in movie history.
It's real. I had to cut some out of it. It was longer. It's the entire opening of the movie.
I don't remember that. That would have made me incredibly uncomfortable.
It's horrible. So then right next to him at another table is a couple of black gentlemen, and they come over.
No, it didn't.
They're like, is there a problem? And he's like, our friend's just a little upset today. It's okay. Oh, and I cut out some of the sexual harassment.
So let me get this straight. In a movie, you can say that immediately. And he's not like a bad guy in the movie. He's portrayed as a dude down on his luck with a few bad views.
Yeah.
But Hannah B. from The Bachelor can't sing a song with the N-word in it right now without going on TV and apologizing like crazy.
Yeah, I cut out some of the sexual harassment because it was more visual with the waitresses. He was grabbing them saying, I need you to make me feel better. And they were like, you need to leave me alone and pushing them off.
I watched a Cheers episode last night where John Hill, the owner of Melville's, owns the bathroom and the pool room of Cheers. And then Sam wants to buy it and Rebecca wants to buy it. And they're both vying for his affection to like, I'll do more for you so then you can sell it to me. He said, the price doesn't matter. I'd like you guys. He just wanted his ass kissed hard and whoever did it better was going to win it. And so Rebecca goes up there and basically says, you know, I have something Sam doesn't have that I can give to you. And then he starts to try to take it from her, and she realizes it's wrong. And as she tries to escape, John Hill puts his hand in front of the door, and she goes, Jesus, you're fast. And he goes, and agile. And then he leans on the door, and it's a rape. He's going to rape her. And it's like, and the crowd is howling laughing.
Last night, watch a movie with Kirby, so we're on Disney Plus. And Ronnie's like, oh, Kirby, let's watch The Nutty Professor.
I thought you were going to say Song of the South.
With Jerry Lewis?
No, the Eddie Murphy.
Oh, all right.
I didn't realize how many N-bombs. It's rated, it says PG-13. N-bombs, every cuss word possible.
Is it because of Dave Chappelle's part?
Right when Eddie's yelling for the table, you talk!
Oh, does he?
Oh, yeah, and says it back and
forth.
Oh,
that's right, yeah.
He says it a couple of times to...
Disney.
Back and good forth times. On Disney.
And I might watch that today.
The sexual assault.
Hey, you sold it on me.
Yeah, I'm ready.
That surprised me.
Professor Klump ever say the N-word?
It was only when Eddie was the cool, slimmed-down version of himself.
Buddy Love.
Yeah. The plus in Disney Plus must mean racism.
Right. You want to hear some fun from the Vic Morrow crash?
Yeah.
Two child actors were also killed.
That's right.
They were playing the Vietnamese kids because it was the Vietnam.
He was having a flashback to
Vietnam,
Or he kind of, the Twilight Zone took him to it. Like, it's actually really clever.
All three were killed. Morrow and Lee, one of the kids, was decapitated and mutilated by the helicopter rotor blades.
Yeah.
While the other kid, Chen, was crushed by a strut on the helicopter.
I remember when that came out. Because my mom was like, oh, my God, Vic Morrow died. And I didn't know who he was at the time. And it was like the Twilight Zone movie. And I used to love the old Twilight Zone reruns.
I love that.
And so I knew the movie was coming out. And I'm like, that's great. And then the debate on Entertainment Tonight and all that was, will they leave the scene in? And they said yes.
Man.
And they did. If you watch it, watch it now.
And whether or not they continue the movie, too.
Well, yeah.
At first, like, it might not happen.
Yeah, they were thinking it's good. It delayed it for a little bit, and they're like, you know what? We got to do it.
They did it with that, with The Crow, too, with Brandon Lee. Yeah, he got shot towards the end of that, and they had to keep going.
It was the one where the boat crashed, too. They had somebody died when a
Step Brothers?
That's it. The Nina, the Pinta. No, it was either, I don't remember if it was a Sam Jackson movie.
No, he's still alive.
No, he didn't die. But it was his movie, and then the stunt killed somebody, killed some lady.
Oh, yeah.
There was one for the Batman movie, the Christopher Nolan one a few years ago. They were filming in Chicago, and one of the stunt people got in a car accident on the freeway right where I used to live. They closed it down to film.
You lived on a freeway?
Shocking. No, right next to shocker. Plenty of stuntmen have died. We don't.
Yeah, stuntmen don't count. They're stuntmen. They're death defying for a reason. That's why the stars
didn't defy at that time.
That's why it's exciting.
That's why it's a special person.
Yeah, that's why we're not allowing Leonardo DiCaprio to do the stunts because they could die. We can't afford that. This guy's expendable. All right, next one.
All right, this is from a show called Daddy Dearest. This is from 1993. It was starring Don Rickles and Richard Lewis. They only produced 11 episodes of this show, but only aired 10 of them, and then it got canceled. And this is one. It's called Al versus the DMV, aired September 26, 1993.
93.
Will everyone taking their written test please have a seat and take a pencil?
Oh, they gotta be kidding. Look at this. Sukiyaki is giving a driving test.
Dad, please don't dredge up those old stereotypes about Japanese and Asian drivers.
Hey, it's not their fault. They don't have any peripheral vision. That's why during the war they were so easy to gun down. You flew alongside of them and they never saw you. It's true, I'll show you.
Oh my God.
So he's
pretending
standing
to kill Asian people at the DMV.
It's an Asian guy giving the DMV test, and so then he goes up and stands next to him, does the squinty eye thing, and goes da, 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 da. See, he doesn't see.
Wow, I like that one. 93 that was, and the crowd's just
at
howling.
Least that's kind hilarious. Of pointing it out in a way that this is my old man who's
right.
They yeah, did, but they that did whole crowd they loved
the crowd.
Everybody.
Never
yeah.
Nowadays would be like,
it's
oh.
They didn't cheer Richard Lewis when he was like, don't do those stereotypes. It's when he was like, look at this guy.
When, what's his name? Wolfcastle on The Simpsons. He plays McBain. He's the Arnold Schwarzenegger character. They gave him a talk show. And the best line ever is that was when his archaic references stopped being cool. And the way the audience reacts in his show is he comes out and he goes, hello, everyone. And he looks at his band leader and goes, that outfit makes you look like a homosexual. And everybody goes, ooh. And he goes, now you all sound like homosexuals. and they boo him off the stage. And I'm just like, that's today. That's so perfect. All right, next one.
All right, this is one if you are letting your kid watch this movie, it's a children's movie called The Boss Baby starring Alec Baldwin from 2017. And if you're in the kitchen making dinner or just kind of cleaning up or whatever and you hear this scene and just the audio, you're going to be really confused on what your son's watching.
All right.
I want you to suck it.
You suck it.
No, it's for you to suck.
Ugh, I'm not sucking that.
Suck it.
I don't know where it's been.
It's not where it's been. It's where it will take you.
He's talking about a pacifier, a magical pacifier, apparently, but that's not what I got out of it.
That's awesome.
I want you to suck it.
That's all I need. All right, and finally?
And finally, this is a little quick hitter. This is from a 1980s episode of The Pyramid Game where a guy, he's describing Birkenstock sandals.
Okay.
I take wrap rubber bands around my T-shirt and stick it in.
Tie-dye?
Yes. These are the ugly sandals that lesbians wear.
Birkenstock. Yes.
Yep, and they got it.
They got it.
See?
Tie-dye. Ugly shoes lesbians
that's
wear.
That's fantastic.
I was just waiting for the, what's the car lesbians drive? Subaru Outback.
Subarus. That's great. Good job, Jeremy. I also want to do a thing where you have to do a bunch of research for out of, and it's hard to do now because there's no sports, and it's great during baseball, but taken out of context announcements.
Oh.
Like one of my favorite things in basketball is when they started to say things like, oh, he's going to go over to the bench and get a blow. And they started laughing. Little, you know.
Pat Hughes has one where if he fouls a ball off the handle of the bat, he'll say the ball is fisted foul. I'm like, oh.
Ooh. Ooh.
And he always describes the players' outfits at the beginning of the game, and it's very borderline erotic.
My favorite part is the, you know, when a defensive end keeps, he just keeps coming in that guy's face. All game long. Just keeps coming. It's great stuff. Anyway, go get them, kid. Jeremy's little moments of finding strange things on TV. Now that we're not binging anymore, that's perfect. I am God. There you go. We got an entertainment drill coming up next. Nice job, Jeremy. It's 98.